Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
The U.S. Supreme Court, we just heard it at the top of the news, the future of affirmative action in higher education on the line as the High Court takes up affirmative action in two cases that have been combined. Jill Hasday is a constitutional law professor at the University of Minnesota Law School. She's become a frequent guest on the show. We love to have her on because of her expertise in this area. We welcome her on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Jill, let me just ask you this, based on the makeup of the court and their decisions in other cases, how likely is it? It seems awfully likely that they would, challenge affirmative action, and we could see significant changes here.
Okay, I don't like to predict the future, but I am confident the Supreme Court will roll back affirmative action and probably will hold that any use of race in affirmative action is unconstitutional.
Wow, Jill, could you give us a little bit of an explainer? It's Jordana, and thank you for joining us. Can you tell us how affirmative action is used on college campuses and why this is why people want to challenge it?
Okay, so the Supreme Court has already deeply restricted the use of affirmative action on college campuses. Basically, the court allows race, being a member of an underrepresented racial or ethnic group, to be a plus that helps you in admission, but only in a situation where there are many other pluses in play, many other ways you could contribute to the diversity of the school. So you could get a plus because you're from an underrepresented state or an underrepresented part of a state, or because you're a legacy of your parents went there, or because you play the tuba. You know, there's all these potential pluses, and what the court has said in past cases is being a member of an underrepresented race could be one of those pluses, as long as it's not you get X amounts of points for being in that race, it's flexible, and there's all these other pluses, and that the school shows it's using it as narrowly as possible, basically that without giving a plus for underrepresented racial groups, it wouldn't be able to maintain diversity.
So if they challenge it, if they overturn this, what does the future look like then at both either a private institution or a public institution?
Okay, so if the Supreme Court did a very straightforward holding that race can no longer be a plus, if you look at states that have banned race-based affirmative action like California, there were significant drops in racial diversity in any competitive college, and that's what we could anticipate. I think there have been some proposals that if the court says race can no longer be a plus, then schools should decide to drop other pluses, like they should decide to drop legacy admission preferences, et cetera, but who knows whether that'll happen. So the evidence suggests that racial diversity would go down significantly. I also just want to get back to the point, well, what's the connection between public and private schools? So the Constitution applies to the government. So how could the Supreme Court's ruling on the constitutionality of affirmative action affect a private school like Harvard? Any university, although it's nominally private, actually gets a ton of money from the federal government. So, for instance, the federal government funds virtually all scientific and medical research. Also, the federal government funds student loans. And one condition on that money is that a school not discriminate. If the Supreme Court was to hold that affirmative action constitutes race discrimination full stop, then private schools that want to continue getting this federal money, which they need, otherwise you can't have research universities, would have to stop using affirmative action or risk losing this vital federal support.
Then what would that do, Jill, to the makeup of college campuses? I know you don't have a crystal ball, but if, like you said, this goes through and they say affirmative action is discriminatory and we shouldn't use it anymore, how would that change college campuses?
The evidence from the states that have banned affirmative action suggests that racial diversity would go down significantly. And in some ways that's not surprising. That's exactly why schools are saying they need race-based affirmative action, is to maintain their current levels of racial diversity. Without it, racial diversity would go down significantly.
In the 2003 ruling on affirmative action, I think Sandra Day O'Connor said that, you know, in 25 years, it would no longer affirmative action will no longer be necessary. We're not quite 25 years from that. But is there any evidence, though, that she was right, that that we don't need it anymore?
So Sandra Day O'Connor wrote in 2003 in the first case where the court upheld affirmative action in the context of the University of Michigan Law School. She said, in 25 years, we expect that we won't need race-based affirmative action, essentially because other disparities will have disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
We're almost at 25. That'll be 2028. But those disparities have not disappeared,
right,
in part because of the court's own action. So, for instance, the court has allowed tremendous funding disparities to exist between public schools, which have been challenged as, among other things, examples of wealth discrimination. The court has not been sympathetic to that constitutional argument, so there's tremendous funding disparities in public schools. There's a tremendous amount of de facto racial segregation in K-12 schooling, and the court has struck down some race-conscious efforts to try to counter it. So it's sort of not surprising if the pipeline to elite higher education doesn't change that you're going to have disparities by the time you apply, because that's 18 years into it.
Hmm. Gosh, she said that in 2003. She must have had a rosy ideal for how things would look in 2022. And unfortunately, we have not risen to those ideals. So if the court strikes this down and says this is discriminatory, we've established that, you know, the makeup of college campuses would change, and there would be, are you saying less diversity? Are you saying less, is that what it would be? I mean, will it be whiter? Is that who we're talking about? Or
that,
are Asian-American students going to make up
both
most of
I
college?
Think, okay. Based on the states that have eliminated affirmative action, the numbers, for instance, of African-American, Hispanic, and Native American students would go down. They would go down, we don't know. There's things states could try to do, obviously, to do, you know, outreach, for instance. But, for instance, in the briefing in this case, Michigan, which despite the Supreme Court upholding Michigan's affirmative action, subsequently had a state constitutional referendum banning affirmative action by state law. Michigan reports that they've spent millions on a variety of outreach strategies, and that alone has not been enough to replicate the racial diversity they could produce through affirmative action.
For those of us, Jill, who are not familiar with the process in front of the U.S. Supreme Court, explain the timeline here. They're hearing arguments today, and then what is the timetable for when we might get a decision?
Okay, so the Supreme Court first decides what cases it wants to take. The fact that the court took this case is itself a signal it wants to roll affirmative action back. The court has a lot of choices, and the reason it takes this case is because it wants to do something. Today is oral argument. The parties have already submitted their briefs, and then they each have, it varies, but say 45 minutes to an hour on each side to answer questions from the justices. Then the justices will meet in their chambers, just them, right after, and they'll take a tentative straw vote, and the senior-most member of the majority will either write the opinion himself or assign it to someone else. Someone will write the majority opinion. It'll be circulated to all nine. The dissenters will decide among themselves who writes the dissent. Usually, the most controversial and biggest-stake Supreme Court decisions come out in late May, early June, just before the Supreme Court's term ends. There's no necessary reason. It's just usually that they're still working on it until the end. But the result is sort of a news cliffhanger until right before they leave.
Jill, and we're speaking with Jill Hasday, a constitutional lawyer at the University of Minnesota. Jill, do you think that universities, public and private, would take it into their own hands then if this does become unconstitutional or we do away with affirmative action to keep their communities more diverse, or do you think we would be victims of this, I guess, whitening of American campuses?
I assume schools will do what they can to maintain diversity, but they're currently reporting that there is no substitute for allowing race to be one of the pluses in a multi-plus scheme of admissions. So we'll see what happens. But they've said they're going to try. You know, they're going to try as much as they can, but they can't.
Jill, it was great to talk with you.
Thank you
for this enlightening conversation. Again, Jill Hasday from the University of Minnesota. We love talking to you, so thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Thanks.
Yeah, and she said she suspects that the court will make this, you know, they will shoot down affirmative action.
It's a conservative court. I mean, we've got the decision. Mm-hmm. We had Roe v. Wade. It's the writing is on the wall, and whether or not you agree with it, that's what it's looking like. And, you know, I kept thinking during this conversation, thinking about Steve Swigum's question about, is it too diverse? And there are many people out there who feel that is a case, and that it's not based on, you know, the best students that they're taking, but rather that this needs to come to an end. But as Jill pointed out, there's overwhelming arguments. I mean, it would be wonderful if we were in a place where, you know what, we don't need it anymore, that it would, everybody's on equal playing foot. But if you're paying attention at all, you know that's just not the case.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.